Well, good evening, world of Facebook. Glad to have you here with us. Honored, as always, to be continuing our Live at 5 sermon series. If you would do two things for me, and the first one is grab your Bible. If you want to go ahead and turn to Matthew 16:24, we're going to reference that, and then we're probably going to start in Galatians in all actuality. But also, if you would share this video, because that is what I am getting ready to do, sharing it to the Facebook page for the Wood Church of Christ. That's where I am honored to be the pulpit minister. Also, doing some new things with the video world, so if you like it, let me know, and if you hate it, don't let me know. It's just as simple as that, just trying to make it better on everybody's end. So let's share this, Wood Church of Christ. We're located at the base of Short Mountain. Love to have you come out and be a part of any of our services, because you're always welcome and would always be our most honored guest. Now that that is out of the way, I have 459 and a half, but I'm going to go ahead and round it up, shall we? Let us begin, because we're going to do something that I've been wanting to do in this format really since this pandemic started, and have just finally gotten around to it throughout other things. Not that this wasn't as important or other things were more important per se, but there's a series of lessons that I like to deliver taken from the invitation song titled, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. This was originally a series I delivered 7 years ago, and I'm going back through it and making some additions and adding some new material to it. And so for the next handful of Sunday nights, as we continue our Live at 5 sermon series, I want us to take different verses, one verse a night of I Have Decided to Follow Jesus, and bring that back home. And make it, by that I mean make a more succinct spiritual application to our lives today. Now in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, any man will follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Or take up his cross, excuse me, Luke will add, daily. So if we want to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. So as we begin looking at, I have decided to follow Jesus, well, I've already said that. You know, we all have decisions to make. Some decisions are rather small. They're rather inconsequential. For instance, what you chose to wear to worship this morning, what you're choosing to wear now. What I would say is small on the scale. You may disagree with me. Coke or Pepsi? Really, I mean, that's in the grand scheme of things, that's inconsequential. I'm a Coke Zero guy. That's my favorite soft drink. But if I'm at a place that doesn't have it, I will drink Pepsi, or I will drink Dr. Pepper, whatever the case may be. What about this one? This one may be a little bit different, you know. It's a Superman versus Spider-Man. Well, in my mind, I've always been a Spider-Man fan, so I'd have to lean on that sign. Okay, now we're getting more serious. What about your career? What do you want to spend your working life doing? Or if you're doing something and you don't enjoy it, maybe what do you want to change and do? What kind of house do you want your spouse? Remember, your spouse is the second most important decision, but your most important decision is deciding to follow Jesus. No greater decision can be made than that. So, as we look at deciding to follow Jesus, I want us to ask the question, how do you make an important decision? And there are four ways to do it, and then we'll get into our lesson. First and foremost, you must educate yourself on what you're wanting to do. It seems that we're living in a world and in a time today where people are not educating themselves. They're not taking the time to see what else is out there, to see the other options, or whatever the case may be. We need to educate ourselves. We need to count the cost. What is it going to cost me? For instance, we're using a different camera tonight, so I had to educate myself on what is beneficial, and then I had to count the cost. Then what are the benefits if I make this decision? After I've counted the cost, what are the benefits and what are the consequences? And we'll use this to a degree here to guide our lesson tonight. Three main points for that. Number one, I have decided to follow Jesus. What are the benefits of following Jesus? Now, this is a very scripture-heavy sermon. And I like those. So be ready. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and put this whole slide up here. We're going to go through all of these. What are the benefits of deciding to follow Jesus? Well, our first one is in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. You put on Christ in baptism. Watch what Paul says. For as many of you as have been baptized. Now, those in Galatia had already done it. But it applies today that if you have it and you are baptized, you will put on Christ. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ, much like I have put on this jacket here this evening for our video. You put it on. The jacket and I are one, just like Christ and the Christian are one. But secondly, we see that you have Christian fellowship. And what really better is that? And you ultimately have fellowship with the Father. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sins. So we have Christian fellowship. Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, I feel you are familiar with that verse, but the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. So notice two words are in bold and are underlined. God adds to His church. Friends, we do not join. We do not fill out a membership application and mail it in along with a contribution and hope that we can be a part of any congregation, because the Lord's church is not structured that way. When I obeyed the gospel, the Lord added me to His church. Now, at that time, we worshipped with the Leone congregation, and now I work with the Wood congregation. But I will go visit the Rockcliffe congregation, or I'm speaking at the Morrison congregation, or the East End. But brethren, it is all one and the same. The Lord has added us to His church, and then I worship here, and I go visit over there. Go with me to Romans 6 and verse 4. We walk in a newness of life. And that's not really talking about one foot in front of the other, really. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. That walking there is a lifestyle. So a benefit is you don't live that old life anymore. You live that new life. What about John 14, verse 6? You familiar with that one? Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but except or by or through me. Jesus Christ is our only access to the Father. There's no back doorway. There's no secondary avenue. Only through Christ. Well, go with me now to that next verse on your presentation there. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. We have hope. And really, what better is hope? What is there better than hope? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness, a song we often like to sing, or at least I like to sing. Hope as an anchor, we sing that song. Many songs in our songbook revolve around the idea of hope. But brethren, we also have no fear of death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Hebrew writer says, it's appointed a man wants to die. After this comes a judgment. And you say, well, God, talk about a fear of death in there. Well, it doesn't spell that out. But the thought is there. What do you mean? Well, I know I have an appointment with death that I must keep once in my life. Now, I would like for it to be many years out, because I would like to preach the gospel to more people. But I'm ready to go. Brethren, we have no fear of death. I don't have to worry about, well, is it going to come to me? Yes. Yes, it's going to. It's going to come to all of us. There is no fear of death. I'll put the rest of these up here as well. Go with me there to Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. We talked about hope a minute ago. Well, here is peace in life Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but spiritually minded is life and is peace. We have peace here in this life. But if that's not enough, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter, preaching upon the day of Pentecost, says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You realize that the world will not offer our sins to be forgiven. In fact, the world likes to hold on. Satan likes to hold on to our sins. Jump down to, I don't know why these are out of order, receive gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. Great things come to you if you follow Jesus. Go with me there to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What are you saying, John? There's a continued forgiveness of sins. We've already talked 1 John 1, 7, walk in the light as he is in the light. Well, here we see we can have our sins forgiven. Now, Paul tells us in Romans 6, and I don't have time to preach that, but that's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How that we are dead to sin, live any longer therein. Brethren, we cannot go out and sin just for the simple fact that, oh, well, I can be forgiven. Because if you're doing that, you've missed the point. The point is, don't try to sin, but if you do sin, 1 John 1, 9, and you confess it, and you go and sin no more, like Jesus told the woman in John chapter 8, don't go back and do it again. Brethren, we can be forgiven of our sins, and I can think of nothing greater than that. Then they won't be held against us. What about Romans 8 and verse 1? There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We are not condemned in the world. We're condemned. But no condemnation in that. What about that next one? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Well, we become saved. Here Peter is talking about a way to escape the pollutions of the world. He's going to use a reference there to Noah. How by water Noah was saved and his family. Today by baptism, which involves water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Brethren, we become saved when we decide to follow Jesus. And I love John 14. I use John 14. I know a lot of preachers do, and we're called upon to serve in a capacity at a funeral. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know the way, ye know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So a great benefit is Jesus Christ left us, but he's coming back to take those that are his to an eternity in heaven. Those are the benefits, and really that's just barely scratching the surface. But if I only talked about the benefits of deciding to follow Jesus, well, we would never leave here. We would be here for quite a while. So with that, let's move onward. Point number two. We've looked at the benefits. Well, what are the costs? I'll go ahead and put all of this slide up here as well. Well, first in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 through 5, or 3 and 5, we'll just mention those. Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. And he says in verse 5, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Twice in three verses, Jesus Christ says, you must repent, you must turn away from your sins, or you will perish. So that's a cost. You say, well, Brother Justin, why is that a cost? Because people enjoy sin too much. We would have the front pew, the front two pews, the front three pews, filled up with people repenting of their sins every Sunday. Some of these people are out and stuff if they didn't enjoy it too much. You know, the Hebrew writer makes an allusion that Moses was willing to endure hardships than the pleasures of sin for a season. Some sinful acts are pleasurable for half a split of a nanosecond. And then that guilt should set in and realize I have transgressed the will of God, then it's no longer pleasurable. But people don't want to get rid of their sins. They like their gambling. They like their drinking. They like their pornography. They like their sex with people who are not their spouse or never will be their spouse or whatever the case may be. They like their idol they bow down to. They like whatever. But Jesus says, if you don't repent, you'll perish. Go with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. What's another cost when we decide to follow Jesus? Well, we must worship God. And since we must worship God, by definition, that removes everybody else we must not worship. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They followed the examples that the apostles had set forth, and they followed them. We must worship God, and Him only shall we serve. We also must study, though. That's a cost. In fact, I feel like most of my day is taken up either in work or in study, and I don't mind that. I'd rather it be more study than work, but got to put food on the table as well. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Paul tells the young preacher Timothy, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He says, first off, you need to study. Timothy, you may know, but you've got to study. Why? So you can show yourself approved, so you can show that you're doing what you're supposed to, and you can rightly divide. What's that mean? Well, say, for instance, you've been studying over there in, let's just throw out 1 Corinthians 11, partaking the Lord's Supper. And somebody comes up to you and says, "Well, I think we ought to change the day. Or I think we ought to change what we're doing or how we're doing it." And you say, "No, no, no. I've been studying here in 1 Corinthians 11. This is the way we do it." That's rightly dividing. But if you haven't been studying and somebody comes up, let's say somebody comes in and says, "You know what would make our worship just better and would fill the seats? We need a praise team, and we need smoke machines, and we need fog, and we need a piano over here, and an electric guitar over there, and a bass player in the middle. And maybe if we're lucky, we'll get a drummer that can come in and help us out." But if you don't know, if you hadn't been reading and studying God's Word to know Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3:16, we sing with our hearts, making melody, not with an instrument, not with a praise team, not with a solo. How can you rightly divide if you don't study? Brethren, we must study, and that's a cost. Galatians 6 and verse 10, Paul says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." I've mentioned this before. First off, we must start within the church. That's biblical. But I am afraid too many times we focus on that starting in the church and we never branch out. Brethren, there are a lot of people in the church that need help, but there are people outside the church that need help as well. We must do good to all men. We must also be willing to put God first. Matthew 6:33. Jesus says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." First, priority. Put God first. Do you know how you spell joy? There's a song, I won't sing it, but I'll recite the lyrics. It goes, "J-O-Y, J-O-Y, tell me what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between." And friends, that's the way we get true joy in our lives, is we put things in God's commanded order. We also must be willing to forgive. Oh, that one's hard. I don't want to forgive them. They wronged me there in that passage in Matthew 18, 21 and 22. "Lord, how many times shall we forgive? Till 7 times? And He says, "No, till 70 times 7. He's not saying once you hit 490, you're good, but He says you should always be willing to forgive, and that's a cost. Also, we must submit to the will of God. I've got that reference there in Matthew 26 and 39. I've just been quoting these because they're top of my mind, but I would encourage you to go back and reference them if you aren't that familiar with them. Matthew 26, 39, Jesus Christ is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's just issued the Lord's Supper. He's about to be betrayed and arrested, as we talked about this morning. And He prays 3 times total. "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, he wasn't really looking forward to everything that he knew was about to happen, because he was also human. But yet he submitted to God's will. And brethren, we must submit to God's will according to what he has said to do today. What are some more costs? Well, we must remain faithful unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. Fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, some of you will be tried, cast into prison, have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. We don't get that crown every 2 weeks with our paycheck. For the Christian, his paycheck's at the end. Faithful to death, you receive that crown of life. Here's you just some examples. The 3,000 on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, they counted the cost. They were willing to turn away from sin, to worship God, to do good unto all men. They were willing to do all this. The Ethiopian eunuch there in the 8th chapter of Acts, he was willing to do that. Saul, who turned into Paul, the story is told in Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, he was willing to do that. And even old Cornelius himself was willing. And really, that should be in that examples category. And there are more conversions accounts. I just didn't want to bog you down with them in Acts. But really, everybody's conversion story should be able to be listed there as he or she was willing to follow Jesus because they had counted the cost. Very quickly, though. Well, maybe not very quickly, but the last and third one. We've looked at the benefits of deciding to follow Jesus. We've looked at what does it cost, because it costs us something. We can't live a sinful life that we might want to live. But number three, what are the consequences of us not following? And these don't all have verses, and I'll tell you why. Because if you took notes on the first part, which by the way, I'll tell you how you can get these notes at the end. All these verses go along with what we talked about in the first one. With the benefits. Because we're added to the Lord's church, Acts 2:47. But by definition, if you don't decide to follow Him, if you don't obey the gospel, friends, you're not part of the Lord's church. We talked about 1 John 1 and verse 7, how we have Christian fellowship. But by definition, if you are not a Christian, you don't have Christian fellowship. We have access to the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood hangs there. 1 John 1 and verse 9. And also, with that, your sins remain in you. If you don't obey the gospel, you don't have access to that blood. Now, it was shed for you and it's there. But if you don't take advantage of it, then basically you said to God and to Jesus, I'd rather you not done it because I don't really care for it. But your sins remain with you. As a Christian, I wanted to say if I mess up, but when I mess up, in all sincerity, I can go to the Father and confess my sins and say I shouldn't have done that. Whether I meant to do it or not, and maybe I later found out it was sin, but I can ask and I can pray and I can have confidence that He hears my prayer, 1 John 1, 7 through 10. And He forgives my sins. And they don't remain with me. But brethren, if you don't follow, you've still got those sins. And they remain with you. We've talked about peace. You might want to couple that with Philippians 4 and verse 4. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. But you don't have that. If you're not a Christian. If you have not decided to follow Jesus, you have no peace. What about that blessed hope in Colossians 1:27 and other passages? If you're not a Christian, if you're not in Christ, if you've not decided to follow Jesus, friends, you don't have that hope. And let me tell you, that is a wonderful hope. Building our hopes on things eternal, we hold to God's unchanging hand. But if you don't have that hope, maybe you live your life in fear, waking up each day, maybe afraid you're going to die and suffer those consequences. You can have blessed hope if you will just turn to Christ, submit to Him, and be faithful. But we also see that you'll suffer in hell for an eternity. Remember in John 14, 1 through 6, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will bring you again to where I am. There you may be also. Well, guess what? If you don't follow Jesus, he's not going to take you with him. Now, you don't stay here on this earth. That's the premillennialist view, but that's a view that's foreign, not found in Scripture. Instead, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and following, 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and following, instead this earth, this world will be destroyed, burned up, and will be no more. And then on the day of judgment, Matthew 25, you'll stand before the Lord, and he'll say, those who are faithful, enter ye into the joys of thy Lord, and those on the other side, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those are some serious consequences if you don't decide to follow. So now here comes the important part. We need to make that decision. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says that this, we've already mentioned 21, already read it, I should say, but Peter calls the decision to follow Jesus the answer of a good conscience. How's your conscience? What's a good conscience? That's knowing why and what you're doing, and to know that you're doing your best to please God. Do you have a good conscience? Now, I will say, and I've seen this happen, and I've seen some people get caught up in this and fall away, sadly, and I've seen others that have been just fine. But brethren, we don't need to make this decision just because someone else told you to do it. Maybe you had a family member who said, you know, you ought to obey the gospel. Now, I've said that to people. Good grief. Ananias said that to Paul, or Saul at the time, in Acts 22 and verse 16. But some people, they just do it so much that it turns people away. Don't obey the gospel just because the preacher or Justin Reed or anybody else tells you need to. Do it because you know it's the right decision, friends. Because now you've seen the benefits, what it costs, and the consequences of not doing it. The decision is for you to follow Christ. Now, if we were in the building, we would extend the Lord's invitation, and I would have requested the invitation song be, I have decided to follow Jesus. So I want you to imagine, as you get your songbook out, ready to stand and sing, we're not going to do that in this video format. Would you just be saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided, would you just be saying the words, or would you mean it? Friend, you need to decide to follow Jesus. If you've not decided, I would love to assist you. Please contact me. Reach out through this video, however you found it. I'd love to either help you or put you in contact with somebody else that can help you. Maybe it's close or whatever the case may be. You need to decide to follow him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, just like the eunuch, just like Cornelius, just like Saul and Paul, just like the 2,000 on the day of Pentecost we mentioned in the second point, and you're baptized into Christ. But you also need to decide to follow him every day. Take up your cross, Matthew 16, Luke 9 adds daily. Are you living for him? Maybe you haven't been faithful. You need to repent of those sins and come back. Brethren, you need to make the decision, just as I need to make the decision, to say, I have decided to follow Jesus. We have gone through a lot of verses. If you would like a copy of this or anything in the entirety in this series we're planning on doing, they're all on my website. It's free. I don't charge. It's not my goal. I want these notes in your hand if they'll help you study. TheJustinReedShow.com/Bible Resources, or you can Google my name, Justin Reed or EED Bible. Click on the Bible Resources. Scroll down about 3/4 of the way through the page. There's a sermon section, and you'll see the I Have Decided to Follow Jesus series, and you can access them all. PowerPoints are there as well. I hope this lesson has been as beneficial to you as it has been to me in preparing it to make it easy for us to study. I do want to remind you of an upcoming study that we have planned this week, if the Lord wills. 6:30 Wednesday night, we will have our midweek Bible study that will be live here on Facebook, so I hope you'll join me for that. We've been in Exodus the last 2 weeks, and I love the story of Exodus, so I thought let's just continue there for a little while longer. We're going to actually jump back and talk more about the Passover, because we kind of quickly hit it last week with the plagues, but I want to go back more in detail, Lord willing, then we'll also get through about the 14th chapter there of Exodus as they cross the Red Sea and see God's wonderful power that He had in that event. I want to thank you for your attention. I do hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. I hope that you will join us the next time that we have a study going on. And I will close this lesson the way that we have closed every lesson in this series. May the good Lord bless you, and may He keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for watching.